Well, it's a privilege to be with y'all again. I do pray that the Lord tonight would be the one to speak to us. I pray that He would truly speak in power into our hearts. I was thinking today about that whenever the Lord sent Gideon into battle and he had that earthen pitcher. This was their weapon. He had an earthen pitcher, an earthen vessel that had a lamp in it, a light, a candle in it. But the only way, and the way that what he said to do was break the vessel. And that's how the light shined. And the Lord's put this treasure in earthen vessels. And the way the light shines is the vessel's broken. And I feel like I'm standing before you a broken vessel. And that's good. That's good. I want the only light you hear and see to be Christ the light.
Amen.
You know, everything seems to be dividing us, doesn't it? Sin divided us, separated us in the garden. And this world's been divided ever since, and just keeps division, division, division. This past year, we had this pandemic, and it just has separated us. And the world's so divided right now. And trying to legislate unity, trying to make us to be unified by law. Well, you can somewhat get people to show unity outwardly by forcing them to do it by law, but you can't create unity in the heart. You can't create oneness in the heart by law. You can't legislate it. It can't be accomplished by our deeds. But God makes His people one.
Amen.
He said the purpose for which He sent His Son, and the purpose of God from eternity has been in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He will gather together in one all things. That is, all His people. Those in heaven and those in earth. He's going to gather us all together in one in Christ. And to show us that it's all in Christ, God permitted the devil to enter the garden, and He permitted Adam to transgress the law, sin to separate us, and we've just been more and more divided ever since. But Christ come, and He's just bringing His people back into unity. And this whole thing, if you looked at a picture of a desk full of items and books and different things, this whole life we're going through would be like that desk just getting more narrow and more narrow and more narrow, and things just falling off the edges. Unnecessary thing. And that's what everything in this life is. The Lord is teaching us constantly that the one thing needful is our Lord Jesus Christ. And this thing is getting more narrow and more narrow and more narrow. And one of these days we're going to take one breath, and that's going to be it. And we're going to open our eyes, and we're going to have one thing. And that's the one thing we needed the whole time.
Yes.
Was Christ.
Amen.
I pray God help us get that. We just need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all. And if we have Him, we have all. That's what I want you to get tonight. That's what I want us to get in our hearts. And we'll leave this place comforted if we get there. If the Lord enable us to know this and really enter into, we just need one. We need Christ. We need Christ. Now these Judaizers had come to Galatia, and they were telling believers that it wasn't enough to believe on Christ. They had to add something. They had to add their law keeping. And I want you to see something. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. I want you to see this. Galatians We were teaching that you had to add your law keeping or you couldn't be a child of God. Now these were Jews, natural children of Abraham, and they were put pride in the fact they were the natural sons of Abraham. We like something outwardly that differentiates us or that we think makes us to differ from others. And they thought that made them to differ. They thought because they had the law, the old covenant law, that made them different. They really thought they were keeping it. And so they told these Gentile believers, these true believers, now except you come under this law, it's all right to believe on Christ, but now you got to add your law keeping or you can't be a true child of Abraham. And listen to what the Spirit of God moved the Apostle Paul to write to these believers. Now listen to this. He said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, he said, "Ye are all," he's talking to believers here, "you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, if you're Christ's possession, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now that is the message by which God makes his people one. This is the message by which God makes his people one. The Spirit of God moved Paul. He didn't come there and talk about their differences. He didn't come there and talk about this one's sin and that one's sin or this one's good works or that one's good work. He came here and he pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the grace of God and what God had done by his everlasting covenant promise, ordered in all things and sure in Christ. That's the message. And he told them here, you're one in Christ. God's given you one and the same faith. He's given you one and the same righteousness, one and the same holiness. He's made you equally one in Christ, giving you one inheritance. And that's the message. That is the message of how God makes his people one. Now let's look at this. First of all, God the Holy Spirit declares through Paul that those with true God-given faith are all equally the children of God. He says, verse 26, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now believer, God help us to get this in our heart. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. Think about that. You are a child of God. In the family of God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the saints that are already there, you're in the same family with them. Children of God. God is our Father. Christ Jesus, the last Adam's our everlasting Father. He's our elder brother. We're all in the family of God, children of God. Now, he didn't appeal to anything outward. If he'd have done that, you know what would have happened? It would have made more division. That's all it would have done. Some would have thought they're better than others because of something in them. He didn't do that. He said, "You're all the children of God by faith in Christ." Now, faith in Christ doesn't make us children. We didn't become children when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Faith is given to us to manifest God already made us children.
Amen.
God chose us freely by his sovereign grace in Christ before the world was made. And in time, when God sends the Spirit into our hearts and gives us life and faith in Christ, it's because he already made us children.
Amen.
Look over there at Galatians 4 and look at verse 4. He said, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." And here was the purpose: that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, already, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, which made you cry, Abba, Father. You see that? We were sons. We were children before God sent the Spirit. He sent the Spirit and gave us faith to cry out to our Father because we were sons. Because we were sons. That faith is a gift. It's the gift. You look over at Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in sins. And we couldn't believe. We couldn't do anything whatsoever. And He sent the gospel to us, and He sent the Spirit into our hearts, and He gave us faith. And He said there in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That means I didn't give myself, I didn't read a book on how to be born again. I didn't exercise some spark, fan some spark that was in me. There wasn't any. I didn't exercise my will. My will was in bondage to my nature.
That's right.
The other day I saw a video of a beaver. This woman had a beaver in her house. And I thought, what a great illustration of the bondage of the nature. She had brought this beaver in a home. He wasn't out in the wild in a beaver hut. He's in a house. A human being's house. And this beaver had taken every box she had. She had a bunch of extra boxes because for Christmas presents and stuff like that. He took every box and piled them up in the living room. He was making a dam in the living room. And she had some water in the bathtub, and she caught him. He'd already put a plunger in there, and he put a bathroom brush in there, and he was taking one of her wrap gifts and was about to put it over in the bathtub, and she took it away from him. Why did he do that? That's his nature.
That's right.
I was coming home from service the other day. There was a field of Canadian geese on the left side eating grass seed, and there was a deer carcass on this side with a bunch of buzzards eating it. Why wasn't the buzzards eating the grass seed and the geese eating the carcass? That wasn't their nature. They're doing what their nature was. Well, our nature was dead in sin, but He came, and it says, and by the gift of God, He gave us faith. He gave it to us by grace. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And faith's one of those good works. He called it a good work. Repentance is a good work. He ordained us to that. He prepared us for that. That's why He sent us faith. He sent us faith. So, brethren, don't let anybody bring you into bondage saying there's some legal requirement that you got to do to now, you know, to prove you're a child of God. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance of things not seen. He brings us to believe on Christ. And that's it. When you read John over there and he talks about the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil, and he says the children of God do righteousness and they love their brethren. There's only one thing that a child of God won't do that a child of the devil will do. A child of God will not stop believing on Christ and loving his brethren because he's born of the incorruptible seed and God won't let him. He can't. It's his new nature. He believes Christ and he loves his brethren. He said, this is his commandment. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. That's the differentiating manifestation. You're a child of God. You believe on Christ. Believe on Christ. Now, secondly, look here. He declares that we who believe all have the same righteousness and the same holiness. The same righteousness and the same holiness. He says, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now these carnal Jews thought the law made them differ. Now spiritually, the law declares there's no difference in any of us. The law declares that we're all sinners. The law concluded us all under sin. That's what the law said. There's no difference in any of us, the law said. Paul gave that long list of the Gentile sins in Romans 1. Then he told, in Romans 2, he told the Pharisees, and you all are self-righteous, thinking you're keeping the law and you're condemning these Gentiles and you're just condemning yourself because you do the same thing. And he said, when he got finished, he said, what then? Are we Jews different than those Gentiles? No. We've concluded all under sin. That's what the law tells. We're all the same. We're all the same. Isn't it amazing how lost sinners will take the law that God gave to declare us all guilty sinners, and they'll take that law and try to say they're different from others because of something they did by that law. Isn't that something? The law says we're guilty, but when God makes you hear it, if we're going to esteem others better than ourselves, if we're going to be the least and be a worm so that we don't try to exalt ourselves over others and point out their faults and expose their sins and condemn them for their sins, but really and truly consider our brethren better than ourselves, you know how that's going to happen? God's going to make us know we're sinners. Really, truly sinners. But he says here, but as many of you, now he just spoke about faith in Christ. And the first thing a believer is going to do once he's brought to faith in Christ, he's going to confess his faith in Christ in believer's baptism. And he said, now many of you have been baptized, you've put on Christ. What does that mean? You've put on Christ. I got ready to come over here. My jacket was hanging on the back of the chair. I picked it up and I put it on. When you believe on Christ through faith, God robes us in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. He robes it. He doesn't robe one in one righteousness and another in another righteousness. We have one righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. He robes us in the same righteousness. We got the same faith in the same Savior, and we're robed in the same righteousness. You see how this thing's bringing us together? See how it's making us one? One righteousness. Every true believer, equally perfect before the law of God, equally righteous before the law of God because of what Christ did for us. Every one of us. He said back up there in Galatians 2:16, he says, knowing that a man's not justified, he's not made righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ. By Christ doing and dying, by his person and his work, even we believed in Jesus Christ. That's what faith lays hold of. Christ, our righteousness. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Paul said in Romans 3, he said, the righteousness of God's by the faith of Jesus Christ. He came down and did for his people what his people couldn't do. He came and manifested the righteousness of God. He is that righteousness. And it's by the faith of Christ. And it's unto all and upon all them that believe on Christ. For there is no difference. No difference in us. We're sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be the mercy seat, the satisfying propitiation through faith in His blood. Christ took down the middle wall. We had this, the Jews, you think, here's the thing. God, there was no Jew and Gentile before God gave the old covenant. In Abraham's day, Noah's day, there was no such thing as a Jew or a Gentile.
That's right.
When God gave the old covenant, that He gave it and said, now, you're different from the rest of this world. But the spiritual lesson is, God alone makes the difference.
Amen.
And He doesn't make it by giving you a carnal law, a temporal law, a law written in a letter. He does it by writing a law in your heart. And the law He writes in your heart is not the old covenant, Ten Commandments. We had that law written on our heart. What He writes on our heart is this new everlasting covenant of grace. He makes you know the gospel. He makes you know it's called the law of faith. It's called the law of love. It's called the law of liberty. It's called the law of Christ. It's called the law of righteousness. He actually makes you understand something about righteousness, that you don't have any and Christ is your only righteousness. Amen. This is what He writes on our heart. He writes the gospel on our heart. And when He does that, brethren, He's taken down that middle wall. Christ came and He abolished in His flesh the enmity. What was the enmity? What was it that made the Jew hate the Gentile? It was the law. It was the law. And He took that down because He made of two one new man. In Christ, we're one. One righteousness. He reconciled both his elect Jew and his elect Gentile unto God in one body by the cross. And then he came and preached this to us. And so now by his Spirit, we have access to God by one Spirit. He robed us. He created oneness of heart. He justified us so that we don't have any differences in us now according to the law. We got the same righteousness. And not only that, when he gives you the Spirit, when the Spirit of Christ enters in, you remember when they built the tabernacle and the Lord came down in the Shekinah glory and he entered in and he sanctified that whole place. Well, when the Spirit of Christ enters in, you want to know what a simple definition of sanctification is? It's when Christ enters you in spirit. There's a new man. There's a holy man. And you can't tell where the new man, where the new spirit ends and Christ begins. They're one. You remember Peter had the law and he thought he was sanctified because he didn't eat certain meats. And the Lord came to him and he let down that sheet out of heaven and he said, and he had all manner of beasts in it that they weren't supposed to eat by the law. And he said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And the Lord said, "What I have cleansed, don't call common." He said, "Now, there's some Gentiles over here that you didn't think you were supposed to have anything to do with." He said, "You go down there and preach the gospel to them." And he went down there and preached the gospel to them. And let me go over to Acts 15. Let me show you this. He went down there and preached the gospel to them. And when the Jews came down there trying to tell these Gentiles they had to go back under the law, listen to what Peter told them. Acts 15, verse 8. He said, "God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, between us Jews and those Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith." That's holiness. That's being made clean. That's being made pure. Purified their hearts by faith. "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we Jews believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, us Jews shall be saved, even as those Gentiles who never ever had the law." Amen. You see, this is the big thing in our days, and it's really big where I'm up there, because there's a ton of reform folks up there. And they'll take you to Mount Zion for righteousness, but once you believe on Christ, they're going to take you right back. You got to leave the promised land. You got to leave Mount Zion. You got to go to Mount Sinai for sanctification and holiness. No, brethren, we have our righteousness and our holiness from the same place, and it's from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the righteousness and holiness of his people. Out of his side came water and blood. There's a fountain open for sin and uncleanness, and that fountain's Christ. He's both. So what he said to us here, brethren, is don't be brought back into that bondage of the law, because you've put on Christ. And we have one righteousness and one holiness, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's not one sinner that's more sanctified than another sinner. There's not one believer that's more holy than another believer. That thief on the cross had the same holiness that the oldest sinner that ever lived had.
Right.
Both of them did. And that thief on the cross had his hands and his feet nailed to a cross.
Amen.
And that holiness was Christ. Now, thirdly, let's look here. Galatians 3, he said, verse 28. "So there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ." Now, you want to talk about unity? This is where it's at right here. We're one in Christ. The world is trying to create oneness by law, and they're trying to legislate it, and they're trying to end racism and sexism and all these different things. And it just won't ever work. It just won't ever work. But I tell you where God creates unity and oneness, and that's in Christ. If Paul had justified them, if he'd said something outward made them to differ, it would have just created more division. But this message is the unifying message right here. Now, outwardly, differences still exist. And we're not going to be, when you believe on Christ, a man don't become a woman and a woman don't become a man. You still who you are outwardly. But in Christ, we're one. In Christ, we're one. He said over there in Colossians, he said, you've put on the new man. That new man's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That new man's of God, created of God, in the image of God. And he said, and there's neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Now let me tell you something about this circumcision and uncircumcision. And we need to get this because those two boys, Ishmael and Isaac, they couldn't live under the same roof. God said, you got to tell Ishmael to go. And here's the sad thing. Me and you have an Ishmael in us. We have a man of the flesh that's in us. And he's self-righteous. And what Paul is saying here, brethren, is it's not what a man does. It's not his circumcision that makes him a child of God. And it's not when a brother falls into sin or stumbles, that doesn't mean he's not a child of God. If a Jew that was under the law and a Gentile that never had the law, he said that's not what matters. And you know, we're prone to, if a brother stumbles and has a problem, I don't know if he's a believer or not. We don't need to do that.
No.
If our brother could see our hearts, they'd say, I don't know if he's a believer or not.
That's right.
What we need to do is know that what matters is God's made a new creation. A new creation. What we do in that case, what do we do in that case? It's not justifying a brother's slip and fall and sin. It's not justifying to be nice to him and be kind to him and be loving to him.
Amen.
But what we do, we bear one another's burden. And we turn each other, we remind each other what Christ has done for us. The only thing that turned us from our sin in the first hour was hearing what Christ did for us.
Amen.
And it wasn't the whip of the law that did it. It was hearing it was the goodness of God that led us to repentance.
That's right.
And it's hearing about Him. And that's what we need to do, is remind each other. Because tomorrow, you might be the one slipping and falling, and you need Him to do that for you.
Amen.
You know? So that's the point here. We're one in Christ. And these outward differences, brethren, I know they're there. I know they're there. You got young believers. You got believers been in the faith a long time, and you're not going to expect a baby to walk like a grown-up's going to walk. But all we got all these things. Here's the thing we need to walk in lowliness of mind, with long suffering, esteeming other better than ourselves, remembering this, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Religion, law religion, is always looking for some reason to exclude people. God's people are looking to unify people, to unify brethren, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here it is. He said there's one body, there's one Spirit, there's one hope of your calling, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all who's above all and through all and in you all. That's the unifying message. That's what Paul's doing in our text. Go to John 17. John read this just a minute ago. I want you to see something here. Look at this. This, you see, when we're brought together in one, and we're in unity with one mind and striving together for the faith of the gospel, and that's the prayer of our Redeemer. That's the prayer of our intercessor. And look at what this unity is. John 17, 21. That they all, and you know who he's talking about here. He's talking about his people. That they all may be one. Now how one are we? As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Now that's one. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And he's talking about the world of his elect. He's talking about his people. Look, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them. That's the gospel. He's given us the gospel. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world, his elect, wherever they are, may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How has he loved you? You child of God? Listen to that. How has he loved you? You've loved them as thou hast loved me, Christ said. That's love. And that's oneness, brethren. And that's what he's saying here. These differences are, we're one in Christ. We're one in Christ. Christ said, what we do to our brethren, we do into Christ. That's how one we are. So that this is why we want to endeavor to keep unity. Now look at this last thing. We have the same inheritance. And listen now, and we are the same inheritance. Now put this together. I'm gonna shoot from the hip here, but I didn't see this just a minute ago. Look at what he says in verse 29. If ye be Christ, that means if you're his possession. Remember, he said in Ephesians, we're his purchased possession. If you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, and here's what it, and you're heirs according to the promise. Now, if you're Christ, then you're heirs according to the promise. Got one inheritance, and it's Christ. This is what matters. If you be Christ, that's what matters. If you're his possession, purchased by his blood. Now, this thing of working for rewards in heaven, we're talking about inheritance here. This thing of working for rewards in heaven. Now, do you think that there's going to be a spirit in heaven where I'm going to be on the wealthy side of heaven in the bigger mansion, looking down on the poor saints on the poor side of heaven in a little house? That's not going to be that spirit in heaven.
No.
That's the spirit of the world.
That's right.
We have one inheritance.
Amen.
We have one inheritance. And what is that inheritance? Look at verse 6. This is. He said, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. Galatians 4:6. He said in the second part, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Jeremiah 3:19. You remember what he said? He said, how shall I put thee among the children and give you a goodly inheritance? How am I going to do that? He said, you're going to call me my Father. So he sent the Spirit into your heart, so you cry, Abba, Father. And he says, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. You're out of bondage now. You're out under the law now. You're a son. You're in the house of God, a child of God, and you're an heir of God through Christ. Now, what's our inheritance? Read it again. You're an heir of God. You're going to inherit God. You're an heir of God. That's a two-way street right there. An heir of God means you're God's inheritance. That's what he means when he said, if you be Christ, you're his portion. You're his inheritance. And he says here, and you're an heir of God. He's your inheritance. Now, what else do you want? What else would we want? Remember what he told Abraham? Abraham said, Lot, let's don't fight. You choose what you want. And that Lot said, I want that well-watered plain. I'm gonna make my fortune. He said, you can have it. And he went, took a rocky mountain, and it's hard to graze sheep in a rocky mountain. And the Lord appeared to Abraham, and I'm sure he was down. He thought, how am I going to make any life in this rocky place? And God came to him, and he said, and Christ came to him, and he said, I'm your shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. Meaning, you don't have a thing to worry about, Abraham. Whatever you need in this life, I'm going to provide for you, because I got something waiting on you that you can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. You're going to come into my presence and be in my glory and enjoy my glory. And I'll tell you what he told the priest. He said, I'm your inheritance and you're my inheritance. Mm-hmm. That's right. Listen to what I love that J.C. Philpott said. All the love of God, the goodness of God, the holiness of God, all His happiness, bliss, and blessedness, all His might and majesty and glory shining forth in the person of His dear Son in the blaze of one eternal, unclouded day. That's the saint's inheritance. That's good. That's good. That's it, brethren. That's it. So this is the message. We are all the children of God. Believer, we're the children of God. We got one righteousness. We got one faith in the same object, Christ our Lord. We got one righteousness. We got one holiness. We're His possession and He's our possession. We're one. We're one. I pray God will bless you. Comfort you with that. Amen.